A post-infectious disease moment. Common pathogens as bad as COVID-19 in creating ME/CFS by Court Johnson, September 21st, 2024. We've had chronic fatigue syndrome, ME/CFS moments, and long COVID moments. And now we have our first post-infectious disease moment. Moments are indications that something significant has happened, which suggests that better times are ahead. In this case, not just for ME/CFS or long COVID, but for post-infectious diseases in general. The CDC's ME/CFS program is back. This moment was generated by the Centers for Disease Control's ME/CFS program, which is on a bit of a roll right now. This is its second moment in the past year. The program seemed to hibernate for a while. The CDC, as it turned out, was working on its Multi-Site Clinical Assessment of ME/CFS project. The CDC bit off a lot to chew with its multi-site project. It was one of four major highly ambitious and expensive projects: OMF's Severely Ill Data Project, the NIH's Intramural Study, and the DECODE ME Project, that took root in ME/CFS over the past 10 years or so. The multi-site project has nearly been forgotten, but it involved intensely studying large numbers of ME/CFS patients as they saw a broad array of ME/CFS experts spread across the U.S. Over the past couple of years, the publications have started to come out. There was a big exercise study suggesting that metabolic problems at the cellular level were causing strange breathing patterns. Plus, the CDC produced a paper that greatly increased the prevalence of ME/CFS. While the CDC has rarely been a huge driver of ME/CFS research, it's played a vital role in understanding ME/CFS prevalence and its impact. With the recent publications of several significant papers, you might say the CDC's ME/CFS program is back. Is ME/CFS everywhere? What a clever study. Then again, the myalgic encephalomyelitis chronic fatigue syndrome after SARS-CoV-2 infection study is right in the Center for Disease Control's wheelhouse. The CDC, after all, is about tracking disease. It started out as the Communicable Disease Center, tracking the spread of malaria in the southern U.S. and then moved on to other infectious diseases. Now, fittingly, in the 21st century, it's tracking post-infectious diseases. Elizabeth Unger and company. This study included researchers from UCLA, Yale, UCSF, University of Washington, University of Texas, etc. We're way ahead of the game when, back in 2020, they began assessing how often infections other than the coronavirus were causing chronic fatigue syndrome, or ME/CFS. The study was brilliantly simple. Between December 2020 and September 2022, it enrolled over 4,000 people with an acute infectious illness in sites scattered across the U.S. and, using tests approved by the FDA, determined if they had COVID-19. Then they standardized questionnaires including the 2015 Institute of Medicine criteria to determine their symptoms and if they met the criteria for ME/CFS at 3, 6, 9, and 12 months. In the end, they had a post-infectious coronavirus group and a post-infectious other pathogen group. Results. Quote, our findings suggest that COVID-19 is no more likely than other acute infections to be associated with ME/CFS. End quote. The authors. Maybe nobody but an ME/CFS patient could have expected these results. The big bad coronavirus was no more likely to produce ME/CFS than the mystery pathogen, essentially suggesting that the common cold is every bit as effective at producing ME/CFS as the coronavirus. If anything, the people infected with the mystery pathogen might have fared worse. Interestingly, the percentage of people remaining ill stayed pretty constant over 12 months, i.e., they were not getting better. Quote, the high symptom burden for participants meeting ME/CFS criteria persisted through 12 months in both cohorts, emphasizing the potential for a long duration of illness and disability. The study's findings were strengthened by its size and its spread across 8 geographic areas. Not surprisingly, it made it into a top-notch journal. You can see how these people could have been missed. The common cold, which is caused by a variety of pathogens, doesn't get much study. Most people simply get over it, and only a very small percentage of people remain ill. The problem only gets significant when you add in all the people who get colds every year. It's exactly the kind of thing our big disease-focused medical establishment would miss. We needed a new pathogen to sweep the field to highlight the post-infectious subject. What a turnaround for the medical establishment this is. Many people with ME/CFS know how hard it's been to convince doctors that a simple cold could result in a disabling disease. It just didn't compute. The multi-site study isn't the first to find that common infections can cause disabling symptoms. A larger, 10,000-person UK study, and you can see the link to that in the text version of the article, published in Lancet, which followed people for a shorter period, 1 month, found that people with undiagnosed respiratory functions had similar high symptom burdens and concluded that there may be long-lasting health impacts from other respiratory infections that are going unrecognized, and that we must take the opportunity to investigate and consider the post-acute burden of other ARIs. To ensure all people with post-acute sequelae can access the treatment and care they deserve. Another confirmatory finding came from a 17-year, 2023 Taiwanese study, which found that people infected with varicella zoster virus, Mycobacterium tuberculosis, Escherichia coli, Candida, Salmonella, Staphylococcus aureus, and influenza all had an increased risk of coming down with ME/CFS. Most of these are common pathogens that most people quickly fight off. Varicella zoster causes chickenpox. E. coli and Salmonella are common causes of diarrhea. Candida is a common fungus. Staphylococcus aureus causes sinusitis. From the groundbreaking Dubo studies of the 1990s to the more recent fibromyalgia Giardia studies, there's ample evidence that common infections can cause an ME/CFS-like illness. Aside from Lenny Jason's infectious mononucleosis college studies, the studies have been quite small and made little impact outside the field. A building wave. Things are different now. Large studies that are getting published in prominent medical journals are making it impossible for the medical profession to ignore post-infectious illnesses. Ditto with a recent CDC study, which found that ME/CFS is much more common than previously thought. Post-infectious disease communities are uniting and demanding their illnesses be given equal footing. The $10 billion 10-year-long COVID moonshot to vastly increase funding for long COVID, ME/CFS, POTS, and post-Lyme disease syndrome is the most prominent example of this. You can support that effort now. The Fight for Post-Infectious Disease Center at the NIH suggests that a new era is coming. The wave is building. Post-infectious diseases can no longer be ignored.